Project Independence is the aging in place initiative of the town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services. Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Ann Hirsch. And Ann Hirsch, I believe, is the person who brought Jim here.
I sure am.
Jim Cole. And Jim, I'm going to go through it specifically. He's an adjunct professor of American and Constitutional History at Hofstra and also at Nassau Community College and the founder of Change New York State. But if you look it up, it's Change, CHANGENYS.org.
Yes. We're also on Facebook, too. We've got a lot of followers on there that have interested in this conversation about government in New York State, so we're
right.
happy to do
that. And the most important thing that's going on here with Jim, and with only 15 minutes to go, it's never going to really be appreciated, is his knowledge and his enthusiasm. Because I'm going to have to agree with everything he's saying. There's confusion. People don't know what to do. And this is a program for seniors. So younger people are much more in tune.
Sure.
I shouldn't even say that. The younger people who want to be.
Right.
Otherwise, you're totally baffled.
Right.
You're totally lost. And sometimes you go into a boot and say, who am I supposed to vote for? Oh, just vote for Ann. But if you want to really take an interest like Jim is doing in attempting to run for office twice, that is the way it happens.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if it doesn't work that way, maybe you switch parties. I have no idea.
I don't know if that's in the cards. one of the things that I wanted to do with my organization is exactly what we're doing, and that's have more conversations about New York State government and about government in general. I'd found that at places like Hutton here at CW Post and the other lectures that I do around Long Island, that people, you know, contrary to popular belief, people do want to be engaged in these conversations and they do want to have them, even when we disagree. If we do it respectfully right. to each other and kind of respect the dialogue, that's what we're trying to do. We're nonpartisan. We are literally just trying to figure out what are the best things for New York State. How should our government be set up in a way that is best responsive to the people of the state?
Right. Oh, Ann has that quiz.
She's still looking for a watch.
No. I have to go back a little bit, though.
Let's take it easy on that one.
And in the course, and you'll probably have a better answer than I do to even this, because you're younger and you're going around to the colleges, et cetera. What is the percentage, I mean, from looking at voting statistics, it's the seniors who vote.
Sure.
So if you want to get elected, you know, be bipartisan senior advocate, and you're going to get elected in my mind.
Right.
Because the 25 and the 35 and the 40, they don't seem to come out. And that has to be brought into your conversation also because, you know, some of them go after these smaller parties.
Right.
And they're going to be gung-ho for the Green or gung-ho sure. for the working families, et cetera.
But the numbers are relatively small.
Insignificant, unfortunately.
Well, one of the things that we look at, if we look at the elections where younger people do come out, the 2008, 2012, even we could say the 2016 election, where you have, you know, candidates that were on the ballot that somehow excited voters, either excited them in a negative or a positive way. But people that stand for something, people that are out there engaging people, you certainly saw that in 2008 when President Obama ran, young people very, very excited.
Right, that's true.
You saw that in 2012, his reelection. So you are seeing, with the right candidates, you can engage younger people. If you could articulate an actual philosophy, instead of just appearing like you're the partisan that says everything that Republicans are doing is bad or everything that Democrats are doing is bad, if you could actually engage younger people about, not to be philosophical, but the philosophy of government, where do you stand? What should government be doing? What is the role of government? What did the framers think the role of government is? And what does that translate to today? Is it a direct correlation? Should it be? These are things that I think young people are ready to have that conversation, and they want to have it because I've been doing it on college campuses and in these lectures. And young people are excited about government when you present it in a way that gets them excited.
Do you think with all the exposure that you're having and the fact that you do have a very large following of people and it's very positive and it's very supportive of you as an individual and what you're talking about, that your name will begin to be out there more and people will say, oh, I know who this is. And yes, this is someone that I want in office representing me. Are you finding this happening?
Well, this is happening everywhere but in the districts that I ran because I lost two elections. So, no, I actually ran two primaries. So I was never on the general, the November ballot. So because I ran in two Republican primaries. But we are starting to see people that do kind of resonate with what I'm trying to do and what my organization is trying to do. And not that it's necessarily about me, but it's about people seeking out these conversations. I decided a few years ago, I used to come to Hutton House or to the lectures and say, here's what the Supreme Court said, and here's this case. I consciously decided to take a little bit of a shift. I wouldn't give my opinion. I started to say, let me inject some analysis into here, because anybody could come in and tell you what the Supreme Court said. So what I started to do was I started to say in my lectures, here's what the Supreme Court said, and here's where I think they got it right, and here's where I think they got it wrong. Now, I knew that would invite some people to not like what I'm saying or disagree with it, and I knew that. But it would also tell people that even if I don't like him or I do like him, I'm getting analysis, and he doesn't mind the pushback. My favorite part of any of these conversations that we have is that when I'm done talking and we open it up for questions. And one of the critiques is that I take too many questions. But I like the engagement. I like to know what people in the kind of audience is thinking and then make them part of what we're doing. And I think that's one of the ways that it becomes successful.
I just want to interrupt. You never take too many questions.
Never too
many. Because
what
happens is, at the end of a lecture, I can leave if I want. If I don't want to hear questions.
That's true.
But you're good enough to stay there for 20 minutes, a half hour,
sure,
an hour.
I always stay.
Because if I have a question, I'm happier with you for answering
that's
my question.
Yeah.
I don't like taking questions in the middle of a seminar because that's not fair, because you want to run out. You got your answer.
Yeah.
Finish the seminar and say, guess what? Anybody have questions, I'll answer them.
And
I think that's the respectful thing to do.
Yet sitting in his seminars, he's not in the least bit opposed to a hand going
right,
up.
Okay.
And he acknowledges it right away and doesn't make you feel that you're out of place doing that either, and the group gets more cohesive and we get a lot of interaction going on, and then people walk out and you can hear it of, this was really good, I really felt part of what he's doing. I will now say something. The New York State United Teachers endorses candidates. The United Federation of Teachers, you have spoken, I know I've seen your name on events the United Federation of Teachers does. You're not in our union, but yet our union can be a big ace in your pocket if you want to run for an office. But I assume you first have to get on that.
Yeah, generally the unions kind of stay out until the primaries are over, generally. I mean, except, a handful of occasions where they do get in to kind of try and tip the scale, I guess, in a primary. But generally, the unions tend to stay out until the November ballot is set. And again, I've never gotten past primary day. So that kind of union support or even any type of endorsement, we never really got that far. But, I've been in unions my entire adult life. I grew up in a union household. My dad was an NYPD cop for 20 years. My older brother was an NYPD cop. My younger brother is an NYPD guy. It's kind of like Blue Bloods around the kitchen table, except my sister's not a lawyer, but my dad does have a mustache. So I'm used to. I'm in a union household. I grew up. I know what it's like to have that kind of union protection. So it would have been. I would have loved to seek out the support of the unions. One other thing that we are looking into that I just want to mention quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that I'm co-host of a podcast that me and another guy named Flip Padeau, who also ran for public office, started. It's called Graft. And one of the things that we're doing in a nonpartisan way, again, is we're looking into corruption in New York State. Why is New York State seem to be this kind of magnet for corruption in our politics? We've had some great guests. Just yesterday, we put out the first podcast with a guest. It was Tom Suozzi. We've interviewed Lee Zeldin. We interviewed Ed Cox. Jay Jacobs said that he's going to be coming on. We have a lot of kind of big names in the state already signing on to come on and listen to or actually be interviewed on our podcast and talk about this kind of epidemic of corruption in politics in New York State and the history of it as well, coming from a history background. So I'd love to ask your listeners, if you're into podcasts, to check out Graft Podcast. We're on all
the
platforms.
How do they do that? What do they do?
You could pretty much go to graftpodcast.com.
And oh, that, like a website.
That's a website. And then all the podcasts are listed there. And they could just kind of click on one and get a listen. They could subscribe, so to let them know when we're uploading
that's
podcasts.
That's graftpodcast.com.
Yeah. And if you're not into podcasts, once you start listening to them, you will get hooked. They're really, really great, these different platforms.
So I'm just, this is a little Christina chewing here. So every podcast has its own email address. You know?
No. It's you just click on, like, they're listed, like, on their website.
You know,
you can
search
on different mediums. You just type it in.
Okay. I'm just confused.
It's a great platform. Okay. It's almost like a radio show with no time limit. You kind of put it out. There's no scheduled time. It's kind of, we kind of put it out at our pace, and it's a really, cool. really good platform.
If I understand correctly, and please, you know, let me know if this is correct, but you were on the wing of the plane in the Hudson River that was forced landing. Am I correct that you were on there rescuing people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, me and my partners responded to that plane.
Okay. The reason I'm asking, is there anything you're afraid to do?
Let me see. I'm sure my children will come up with a few things that I've been afraid to do, like having tea with my daughter when she was young. No, never afraid of that. That was a ton of fun, actually, looking back. Those are great times. So,
we only have a minute or two left.
I don't want to face my son. I don't want to face my son because he's 11 years old and
11?
He's becoming a pretty good pitcher. So
that,
I'm afraid of facing him as a batter. So
good for you.
My
good
kids
you.
Are 11 and 13,
okay.
my son
okay.
and my daughter.
Nice.
Yes.
Honestly, we're out of time. We said 30 seconds ago. This was tremendous, Jim. I'd like you to come back if you're willing.
I would love to.
This
that would be great.
This was just the tip of the
Thank
iceberg.
Thank you so much. Thanks
and
for having me.
What you're saying, there's a lot of validity to what you're saying. There's
Thank
no question
you.
About it.
I'm very glad you came because I heard you the first time you did the show, and I said, John will just eat this up.
I remember you said, I don't yeah. think you were here that day.
No,
yeah,
he wasn't.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, you were here once before. I didn't realize
Jerry
that.
Jerry and with
David.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We had a lot of fun.
Yes.
That was good.
Yes.
That was good. Terrific. I want to thank you very much,
thank
Jim.
You.
We're going to have
Thanks,
you back
Jim.
On again. You're listening thank to you. Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.
That was a lot of fun.